This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well. Tex and Adam with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council / Gay Men's Health Centre. So thanks to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. Welcome, Tex. How are you tonight?
Adam, did we intake a breath? Adam, I'm really well, thank you. It's a lovely day. It's been a sort of on and off gorgeous day today, but it's nice and bright outside so we can see the city and I can see you, which is equally delightful.
Will we see each other all day?
Well, indeed, Adam. Now, I'd like to know the answer to the all-important question. It's a question that on the other side of the desk asks every week.
Mm-hmm.
And on our last show for the year.
I know.
Indeed. Adam, what's on the show this week?
Dunno.
No. You promised you'd say that, you rat bag.
No, look, tonight on the show we'll be chatting with Philip Keane from the National Association of People Living with HIV and AIDS about rapid HIV testing and the recent announcement from the Therapeutic Goods Administration about licensing one of the rapid HIV testing devices. But obviously we'll be covering not some of the latest news. We're going to do something a little bit different because it's the last show of the year and also what's going on around town at the end. But Tex, we do love to hear from our listener. So how can they get in contact with us?
Well, Adam, there's a multitude of platforms tonight where people can get in contact. If people want to get in contact with us right here in the studio, you could send us an email onair@joy.org.au or you could send us an SMS, send a text to text 0427 JOY 949, or you can like us via our Facebook page, facebook.com/well well well joy. And we like to be liked.
We do like to be liked. Oh. Well, this is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Ed Sheeran, Give Me Love.
Look, quite a nice song, actually, Adam. I was, I'm quite impressed.
You like that?
Oh, indeed, I liked the Christmas theme to it. We've already had a message that's come in. We've had a message on our Facebook page. We've also had a SMS that's come in, it's an email that's come in. And yesterday, some very important people in my life arrived in Australia from Wellington, New Zealand. Victoria and my son Felix came to Australia for Christmas. So I'd like to say a very big hello to Victoria. I know that she's listening and Felix is listening. And Felix, a very good night. I hope you have a wonderful sleep. And Felix, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. And then the next day, 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 the next day. And then the next day before you go home.
That's a lot of days.
It is a lot of days. And it's going to be great to see Felix and Victoria here in good old Melbourne town. So thanks for messaging in. Remember, you can send us an SMS 0427 JOY 949 or an email onair@joy.org.au.
So this is the part of the show that we like to, as I say, change tracks. And normally we do a little bit of news, latest news, news snippets, anything that we've sort of come across that we thought would be quite interesting. But obviously the biggest news that everyone's been chatting about, and Doug was chatting about it before, was rapid HIV testing. So we thought we would change it up a little bit, Tex, didn't we?
Indeed. Look, it's the party season. Let's face it. We're heading towards Christmas, New Year, Hanukkah's happened, but people are still Hanukkah festivaling. There's all sorts of dance parties, all sorts of events. There'll be nightclubs that are pumping with music and pumping with people. So we thought it might be a good time to talk to people about the party season and looking after yourself. Of course, looking after yourself, but really importantly as well, looking after those around you as well.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, this is the time of year when people get together and sometimes, you know, family fights and arguments happen. Obviously, people that might not have seen each other for a long time have gotten together, might be having a few drinks and something to eat. And so I think it's more just about taking a little bit more care out there. So if you're planning on going out for Christmas or for New Year's, make sure that you either catch public transport, get a cab so that you're not drinking and driving. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's something that we want to avoid around this time of year, as we do, I guess, throughout the entire year. But it just seems to be a little bit more prevalent around this
Indeed.
Time.
And look, people get a bit messy around party time. So, as you said, decide on perhaps travelling into the city or wherever you're going by public transport, or perhaps by taxi, organising to get a taxi home, or to have a designated driver, someone mm-hmm. in your group who is perhaps the person driving you in is also the person driving you home. Perhaps a teetotaler would be a wonderful person to have, wouldn't it?
That would be very handy. And obviously there are the New Year's Eve types of parties where people might be doing something a little bit more hardcore than just, say, alcohol, perhaps?
Indeed. Taking all sorts of recreational or, as they're actually should be called, illicit drugs. Mm-hmm. And there are all sorts of drugs and there's all sorts of ways that you can get into trouble. People can get in trouble with alcohol, people can get into trouble with recreational drugs, and equally people can get into trouble with a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, you're on the dance floor or wherever and you know someone's taken an illicit drug and they drop or they collapse, the first thing to do is to pick up your phone and dial 000 and ask for an ambulance to come. The ambulance officers aren't going to be criticising you. All they want to know is what you think the person has taken, so that they can immediately apply the right medications to bring that person back to reality, or when they shuffle them off to hospital, so the emergency department will know how best to treat that person.
Exactly. And I think it's also very important that there are several ways that people can minimise the harms when they're using recreational or illicit substances. Mm-hmm. But I think your point is pretty spot on, that we should all be looking after each other and looking after ourselves, and so we can make the festive season exactly what it is. Festive in a very fun and safe way.
Just very quickly, one thing that's really important to mention for people who are living with HIV, men or women living with HIV, things are quite a while ago, but still quite prevalent, is the party drug known as ice. And when someone living with HIV takes a recreational drug, the drug actually gets a double life. So if a drug is going to take 7 days to so that it's pass through your system and out of your body, if you're living with HIV, that time is doubled. So if it's going to take 5 or 7 days for a drug to exit your body, if you're HIV positive, it's actually going to take 10 or 14 days for that drug to exit your body. So whilst you might say, well, I'm only a weekend user, I only use on the weekends, so I have a whole week to recover, if you're living with HIV, your body hasn't had time to recover because the drug is still active in your system. So if you take it every weekend, and you are constantly getting more and more addicted to a particular drug. And mm-hmm. some drugs like ice or crystal methamphetamine can be quite damaging to the system. So it's a good idea to look after yourself and to do it by perhaps halving the hit that you take.
That's exactly right. Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're with Adam and Tex this evening, and that was Lights by Ellie Goulding.
Yes, indeed it was, and that was actually for Jason, who unfortunately isn't here, but he has sent in a message and said that he's Sorry that he can't be here today, obviously, because he's not feeling well. Well, that's a load of bollocks. He's just decided to take the day off.
You did say it. I did. You just say it and you did say it. Jason, we do say get well soon, and we are missing you on our end of year show.
Yes. Well, tonight we'll actually be tonight on the phone, we actually have Philip Keane, who's a health educator for the National Association of People Living with HIV/AIDS. So good evening, Philip, and welcome back to Well, Well, Well.
Thanks very much, Adam. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
I'm great, thank you. And hi, Tex.
Oh, hi there, my darling. Gorgeous to speak to you.
It's always lovely.
Well, obviously, you're here tonight to talk about rapid HIV testing, but firstly, can you just tell the listener just a small bit about yourself and who NAPWHA are?
Sure. Well, we actually recently had a name change. So NAPWHA was the National Association of People with HIV and AIDS, as you introduced it. But in fact, we recently, at our last annual general meeting, changed our name. So now we're known as the National Association of People with HIV Australia. And that means we dropped the AIDS from our title. And that was to reflect the different reality for people with HIV these days. With better HIV treatments, AIDS is really, for most people, a thing of the past. Most people these days, if people access treatment at the right time, are never going to get what used to be known as AIDS.
Well, that was obviously a very big oversight on my behalf. But look,
oh, well, we haven't been... Well, I may not have told you that. I'm sorry about that, Adam. But yeah, we did let our members know, but we haven't done much media about it yet.
Right. Well, look, obviously, well, let's get to the crux of why we're here. Obviously, we're going to be talking about rapid testing. It's been everywhere, sort of all over the gay community news and gay community press around the country. But what exactly is rapid HIV testing?
Well, rapid testing is... a test that is performed while the person being tested waits. So usually a sample, usually a finger prick or an oral sample from someone's mouth is taken and then placed onto a little test kit. Usually it's a paper strip or sometimes a little vial with solution. And then you wait anywhere between, between 10 and 20 minutes to get a result. And what they're good at is confirming HIV negative status. So if the test is negative, then there's very high accuracy that the person is indeed negative. What happens, though, if the test is reactive? That means that it could be that that person is HIV positive, but because the tests are not diagnostic, you then have to take blood and do a conventional lab test to confirm the result. But what they are good at is for use as a screening test, because most people will be HIV negative.
So, Philip, what are some of the benefits of rapid testing? Is it the fact that it's less time spent at a clinic, people don't have to come back for their results, or, you know, what's the good news?
I think the benefit is that for many people who might be anxious about whether they are HIV positive or not, then the benefit is that the test will give you that result. It will confirm HIV negative status, usually within 20 minutes. So people don't have to wait a few days, which is sometimes an anxious wait, a few days or up to a week to get a confirmed lab result, have to return to the clinic to get the result. In most cases, 97 or 98% of people testing are going to be HIV negative and will get a confirmed negative result on the spot.
Okay, so obviously that's rapid HIV testing in a nutshell. So on Monday, the Therapeutic Goods Administration approved a specific device for rapid HIV testing to be used in Australia. So what does that decision actually mean?
It means that now that particular test, which is called the Determine Combination Rapid HIV Test, it can be used by an appropriately trained practitioner to administer rapid HIV tests to people at risk of HIV. Previously, because the test was not licensed by the TGA, that test could only be offered through clinical trials where there was essentially a waiver from the TGA to allow use in trials. But now they can be used. There is a little bit of work still to do in getting people trained in how to use the test, but once that is in place, they can then be used to offer testing to people.
Now, Philip, you mentioned earlier that there's either an oral swab or a finger prick. Mm-hmm. What device has been approved, or which one has been approved? Is it the oral swab or the finger prick?
It's a finger prick test. Recently in America, people might be aware that the US FDA did approve an oral test for use at home, and that test, which is called the OraSure test, we understand has also been submitted to the TGA for an application to be licensed here in Australia, but the TGA process actually takes quite a long time, unfortunately, so we're not sure exactly how long it will be until there is a licensed oral test available in Australia, but we hope at some point soon there will be also.
Okay, and so specifically for this finger prick device, do we know how long it takes to actually get the results, or are they all sort of within the roughly the same sort of time period?
They actually do vary quite a lot. There is one test that's in use in the UK and Canada, which only takes 1 minute, which is kind of amazing.
Mm.
There are others that take about 10 minutes, and this one that has been licensed, it actually takes 20 or 21 minutes usually. The oral test, has been put in for licensing, it takes usually 20 minutes, but it can be up to 40 minutes. So I think when you mentioned earlier, you know, one of the possible benefits being a shorter visit at the clinic, the reality, I think, is with rapid testing, people might actually spend just a little bit longer at their clinic visit, maybe only 5 minutes longer or 10 minutes longer than a normal consultation. But the advantage is that they don't have to then return for the result or wait days for the result. And what we are hoping is that people will be able to develop their clinical practice so that really, you know, there's not much of an extended delay at all at the clinic, that people might just do the rapid test when early in the consultation, and then while talking about other things and doing an STI test, a set of STI tests, that will be while the rapid test is processing, and at the end of the consultation the result would be available.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're just going to listen to some quick community service announcements, and this is Well 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 on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well 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 on Joy 94.9, and before we get back to Philip, we've had another message come in. It says, great show, guys, very informative. I hope rapid testing does become available. Well, your prayers have been answered. It is now licensed. Thanks for a wonderful year of Well Well Well. I love to share the story with Tex and Adam. Keep up the great work. Look forward to more shows next year. Oh, it's from the gorgeous Feral Beryl in Heidelberg. Thanks, Feral Beryl. Always gorgeous to speak to you. If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Philip Keane from the National Association of People Living with HIV Australia, I think I got it right, about rapid HIV testing.
So, Philip, is there a specific reason? Obviously, you said that the TGA process is quite a long time, but is there a specific reason that it has taken this long for Australia to introduce rapid testing when it's been, I guess, widely used in developed and developing countries?
Yes, there is. The problem in Australia was that until last year, 2011, the national HIV testing policy in Australia did not support the use of rapid HIV tests. And the reason for that was that one of the downsides of rapid HIV testing is that they take a little bit longer than a laboratory test to detect when someone might be infected. So in Australia, a lot of the developments in terms of new technologies for HIV testing have been for tests which reduce the window period,
mm-hmm.
Reduce that time between when someone might be exposed and when a test can detect an HIV infection. But because rapid HIV tests take a little bit longer, the testing policy didn't support their use. But what many people in the community HIV organisations like AFAO and NAPWHA and VAC and ACON were arguing was that was only one side of the equation, that we need to think also about what motivates people to present for testing. And what we saw in lots of data from other countries was that where rapid testing had been introduced, the number of people presenting at those testing services went way up. You know, people who had not been tested for a long time or who had never been tested were presenting for testing, and people people found rapid testing to be a much more acceptable sort of test process. And I think that that is largely about the convenience and the immediacy of getting a result rather than having to wait or come back. So we in the community HIV organisations were arguing that, you know, really to take advantage of that, we needed to introduce rapid HIV testing in Australia. But it took some time to convince pathologists and doctors that that was a good idea.
And I guess, obviously, that some people in Australia might have had a rapid HIV test in relation to some of the research projects that have been going on. But there's obviously going to be a difference between the way in which rapid HIV tests have worked in research projects and the way it'll actually work in a real-world setting. So can you tell us some of the findings from, I guess, some of the research projects in Australia that have used rapid HIV testing so far?
Sure. There is one research project in Brisbane hasn't yet reported any results, but there were two projects, one in Melbourne and one in Sydney, which ran for most of last year. The Sydney one is actually still running. It's just been extended. But both of those studies did report some results in October this year. And what was interesting about that, I suppose, the Melbourne one, which ran at the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, it set out to investigate whether people who had access to rapid HIV testing would test more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they divided people in. When they came to the clinic, they offered the opportunity to join the study, and they said, okay, if you want to do this, we will randomise you either to a rapid testing group or a conventional testing group. And then they followed people for 18 months after that to see whether people in either group would come back more often for testing. What they found was, I think, a little disappointing for people like myself who have been advocating for rapid HIV testing. What they found was that although men in the rapid testing group did come back for their first subsequent test more often, earlier than the conventional testing group, that at the end of the 18 months they found that there wasn't a statistically significant difference in the total number of tests between the groups. Mm. There were more tests done in the rapid testing group, but it wasn't enough more to be a statistically significant result. So that was a little bit disappointing, but I think if you think about the difference between trials and real world, when people came for a trial, they had to go through a consent process. We talked earlier about how, because the test was not licensed, people had to get, the TGA had to give a waiver, but part of that is that people have to read a whole lot of documentation and sign a consent form. So that was a bit of a barrier in a trial that wouldn't be there in the real world. The other thing I think is that in the Sydney trial, although it wasn't looking at that question of testing frequency, what they did find was that people who had a rapid test found it to be a much preferred test than a conventional test. They asked people about their preference for future testing, and 80% of guys said that they would prefer a rapid test for future testing, and 88% of guys said that they would recommend rapid testing to friends. So I think, you know, when you get those sorts of acceptability results, which are really, frankly, through the roof, I think that has to be put in context. It helps put the Melbourne result in context.
Fantastic. Well, look, Philip, we're just going to listen to a quick song, but this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Rebecca Ferguson, Glitter and Gold. And Tex was bopping along to the song he was.
Indeed, and we've had another message. We've actually had a hello from Jason, our team leader, to Philip up in Sydney, New South Wales. So, Philip, hello from Jason.
Oh, hello back, Jason.
He is listening.
And he says he's got a lot of admiration for you, Philip, and he thinks you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, right back at you, Jason.
Well, obviously, now that it's been approved, the rapid HIV testing device, there's obviously going to be a large process and, I guess, protocol put into place for introducing rapid HIV testing. So, but what exactly will need to happen?
Well, what does need to happen is a training and accreditation system has to be set up there is already some work that's been going on in developing a training program for people who will be rapid testing operators. The thing about rapid testing is, you know, there are some slightly fiddly bits to using the kits, so people have to be trained in how to use them, and if they are properly trained, then the accuracy of the test is really, really good. So we do want to make sure that instead of just rushing in and everyone using them, that they're used, at least initially, by people who go through an accredited training program. I did mention earlier that in America, rapid tests have now been approved for use at home, mm-hmm. which is very different to here, of course. But in Australia, you know, the provision of testing services and medical services is done in a pretty conservative and safe way. So what we want to ensure is that the introduction of rapid testing is done in a safe and accurate way. So the training program is being developed, but I think it's probably another 2 or 3 months away before people are going to be able to start going to training courses, doctors and nurses, and hopefully community educators to participate in rapid testing services. But yeah, we think probably 2 or 3 months from now, people would be going through those courses, and hopefully soon testing services will start to offer rapid testing on a routine basis.
And Philip, so do you see that there's a specific date or a specific time frame for when we should see the test actually introduced? So, you know, if all of these courses and the training gets done, are we looking at the middle of next year or early next year?
Look, I really hope before the middle. It's a bit hard to say because we didn't actually know exactly when the TGA would be handing down its decision. And although the test was with them for more than 2 years while we waited for a decision, the process of designing those training courses is, although it has begun, it's not yet complete. So in a sense, people have been caught a little bit short by this. So people are now going to be rushing to get the training courses finished and start to try to get people through so that rapid testing can be offered. I would hope before the middle of the year, certainly.
Well, I guess, Philip, thanks very much for providing all the information that you've given us tonight. Obviously, when things start to get into the process and protocols and everything, I guess, starts falling into place, we'll obviously have to get you back on so we can discuss the pragmatic and logistical aspects of rapid HIV testing. But obviously, we could go on for hours, but thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Well, thanks very much, Adam, and thanks for having me on again. It was great.
That's right. We'll have a very happy and merry festive season. So look after yourself, and we will speak to you in the new year.
Lovely. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was a song for Tex. That was Stronger by Kelly Clarkson, because Tex, you make me stronger.
That's really kind of you. I actually like Kelly Clarkson. I've only probably heard her during Well, 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 because I wouldn't recognise a song unless I actually saw it printed on the page.
Well, I don't think you get that on ABC Radio.
No, but I do listen to Joy as well as news
radio.
You
do, and they do play Kelly on Joy quite a fair bit.
But I just haven't. Well, anyway, darling, it's time for you. We've got a few notices of things that are coming up. We might only get to one or two, but there's things that are coming up over the festive season and beyond. And a big one is Positive Attitude. Now, Positive Attitude's a great organisation. The gorgeous Yvonne Gardner has been running Positive Attitude along with a couple of friends, including gorgeous Max. And Positive Attitude provides a regular luncheon service. I think it's on Friday afternoons. And but they always have a traditional 3-course Christmas Day lunch, and they offer an invitation to the HIV/AIDS affected community and the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer and questioning community. It's happening, of course, on Christmas Day, Tuesday the 25th of December at 12 noon. And it's happening at the old Fitzroy Oval. That's in St. George's Road, Fitzroy. You can get there by public public transport, and they have a really small charge of only $12, and that helps to cover the complimentary champagne on arrival. Of course, you can bring your own alcohol, but they're doing a traditional three-course lunch, and it's really quite interesting. Now, you need to get in quick smart to RSVP. The cutoff day is today, but I'm sure Evan wouldn't mind taking a call tomorrow. The telephone number, 94710033. So that's 94710033. They do ask that people bring a small gift to the value of around $5 for their Kris Kringle, and dogs on a leash are more than welcome, and you can't say that about every event that happens around town. And something that happened last weekend, which was quite exciting, at Circuit Bar in Smith Street, Fitzroy, they had their annual bucket collection to raise money to help put on this Christmas lunch, and they raised over $900 last Saturday.
Wow.
At Circuit Bar to help pay for the lunch. So good on the boys, all the boys, and all the people who go to Circuit Bar for helping to raise the money for this particular event from Positive Attitude. And gorgeous Avon. Thanks, Avon. 94710033.
Yeah, and another thing that I think we've mentioned quite a few times, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning again, is the Enough campaign Living Positive Victoria. Uh-huh. So it's not the usual Enough, E-N-O-U-G-H. It's actually E-N-U-F. So it's enuf.org.au, and it's a new website out by Living Positive Victoria. And it's about to, well, I guess you're really kind of encouraged to submit your stories about stigma and discrimination in relation to being HIV positive, like the Australian Olympian Jai Wallace did.
Indeed,
recently.
Yes.
So basically it's about saying enough is enough. Let's end stigma. Let's end discrimination. This has got to stop. So there's badges with Enough messages, and they're available from locations including Joy, certain bars and other venues around town. So if you've come across the Enough campaign and you'd like to contribute, just check out enuf.org.au or wear your badge proudly. And I think Dean, who's on next, is one of the ambassadors.
Indeed, he is. He is an Enough ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
The Country Awareness Network. We do like to mention the Country Awareness Network from time to time. They're based in Bendigo, but they provide a service for all of rural and regional Victoria. So they talk about HIV, sexually transmitted infections, and doing Gay or Gay 101 in rural and regional Victoria. Really easy website to remember, can.org.au, and Adam and the team up in Bendigo will be happy to send you all sorts of resources.
And that's a different Adam. That's not me.
No, that's Adam Wright.
Adam is fantastic. But Tex, would you believe it that we've come to the end of the show, and this is
the last show of the year.
The last show of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long and sometimes often rough journey, I'd like to say. But I think, you know, this is the first year that I've done it, and I think it's been an absolutely fantastic experience. And I hope the listeners have liked listening to me rather than tuning off in droves.
I don't think they've been tuning off in droves, because we've had masses of messages all year, but especially tonight as well. And Adam, I'd like to congratulate you, because you did the Taste of Radio course at Joy, which is open to everybody. Just get onto the Joy website, joy.org.au. Anybody can do that Taste of Radio course. And you can do like us, come into the studio, plan a show, put on a show.
Taught me how to do panelling, taught me about industrial relations, taught me about media relations law and what can be said on radio and what can't be said on radio. It basically covers everything from start to finish. And then the fun part is you actually get to be a part of the Joy family.
Indeed. And it's a great big family, ever-growing family. Remember, go to the Joy website if you want to become a member, joy.org.au. Coming up next, of course,
is Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew.
Indeed. And we've got a few hellos to say. We've got to do a big thank you to Philip Keane from the National Association of People Living with HIV/AIDS.
Oh,
HIV
no.
Australia. Yeah,
got that.
That's right. usual people we say g'day to, Warren in Cairns, Wayne in Nimbin, and Deb in Reservoir. But also Victoria and Felix, who are in Kew at the moment, to Feral Beryl from Heidelberg, and Jason from Kew as well.
Yep, I'd like to say hi to my mum, who doesn't actually listen, but she does the podcasts.
Oh, she listens to the podcast.
She listens to the podcast.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, hi, Adam's mum.
Yes, I'm sure she would love you too, Tex. But, yeah, that's it for us for this year, guys. We'll be back in the new year with some very new and exciting topics.
Indeed, we will be back on Thursday, the 10th of January. The next two shows, the 27th of December and the 3rd of January, there will be an extended Rainbow Report. So keep listening to Doug and his team as they bring up great news and views and all sorts of stuff. We hope everybody has a happy, culturally sensitive, festive season. So whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year or whatever,
or
we hope that you do it safely so that you can be back listening to us on the 10th of January next year.
Fantastic. So thanks very much for all your support throughout the year, guys, and we will see you in 2013.
Jingle jangle, cheerio everyone, bye bye.
This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.